Okay, good afternoon, everyone. We are, it's 2:04, and we're calling the meeting to order. And I believe we have all the commissioners present. Secretary of State LaFollette and the Attorney General are here, and I believe Treasurer Doncic's on the line.
Yeah, I'm on the call.
Good.
Okay.
So we've got,
I'm going to have trouble hearing. Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the June 16th meeting. And June 30th meeting.
Oh, that's last month's agenda. We just we did approve those.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pardon me. I had the wrong page open here. I now will make a new motion. Start over again. Approve the minutes for the July 7th meeting.
I'll second that. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay.
Now we've got some loans I'll get going on for you. I'll make a motion to approve the 8 loans here which we have in front of us.
I'll second that and then follow with the routine question that I always know the answer to. Have these been approved for proper public purpose?
They have.
Okay. Any other discussion regarding these loans? Then all in favor of approving the wrong page. All in favor of approving
the 3.6 million.
Yes, 3.6 million. Say aye.
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 Okay. And that is unanimous. Then we had we had some old business that couldn't complete last time because I got my summary of the Executive Secretary's annual review to both of you too late to really have a chance to review it before the meeting. So we can reopen that. We're reopening that item again. I guess I stand by what I wrote in the summary, and it was good timing for me being new on the board to kind of have the Executive Secretary do an overview of the 11 years she's been with the BCPL. And so I stand by what I wrote. If either of you have any comments on that.
I looked at it, and I thought it was very analytical and well done, and I agree with your conclusion that the preparation of her report to us was very good, particularly the discussion of future plans in the different aspects of our agency. And I will repeat what I said at the last meeting, is that as someone who's been with her, so to speak, on the board for those 11 years, I want to say I think she's done an excellent job of bringing us into the X century in terms of our land management and our money management, and I want to thank her for that.
Okay. The annual review that I prepared has been, this was something that we could have kept private, but the Executive Secretary and I spoke in our regular discussion and preparation for meetings, and she made a decision she would like it to be public, and that's fine with me, so we've included that in the record for this week's meeting.
Okay, good.
Any comment from you, Matt?
I might add a letter down the road, but for today, let's just move on.
Okay. Then we are on to the item number 5, the Discuss Quarterly Investment Report. This is an item that the treasurer put on, so I'll turn to you, Matt, to take the lead on that.
I didn't put number 5 on.
This is a staff report. This is Rich's report, and it's a routine second quarter report for you all, and it summarizes our assessment of the current landscape. It also highlights that BCPL investment returns are outperforming our benchmarks by a substantial margin. And we've earned an additional just a little over $2 million beneficiaries in the second quarter. Interest rates are creeping up a little bit, which is good. We're willing to answer any questions you might have, but this is a routine quarterly report.
This is Doug LaFollette. I looked it over, as I always do when we get our minutes for the meeting or our agenda for the meeting, and it looks good. Just a brief comment. This is another example of something that TIA has added to our program. We didn't used to get these reports on a regular basis, and now we do, and I think that's a good thing, and I want to thank Rich for his work.
Yeah, this is really a testament to, Rich prepared the document. It's also a testament to his performance as a portfolio manager. It's remarkable that he continues to be able to perform in this manner, considering the interest rate environment in which we've been operating. I'm grateful to him and to Tom, who's a critical part of that same performance.
Okay. Anything else on that issue? Then we have item 6, and I'm going to proceed more cautiously than who would like to begin the conversation regarding that item.
It's pretty straightforward. This is one of our examples of our trying to consolidate land. I looked at it, and I looked at the nice little map of where the land is, and looked at the justification for it. And again, this is, again, the good work of our staff, and therefore they want to sell this land to the Forest Service. And I guess what I would do is make the required motion that the Board of Commissioners land approve the sale of the so-called Papa River property to the Forest Service for $868,000.
I'll second the motion.
All right. Any discussion regarding this then beyond?
This is Matt. I'll just say real quick, this is a land sale. I'm for every and all land sales as long as they're, you know, at appraised value. I think this is really good. Hopefully the U.S. Forest Service will maybe buy more of our land in the future.
Okay.
Yeah, we're in negotiations on an over 1,000-acre trade with the Forest Service. That will not be a direct sale. It will be a like-valued trade. But we have got a lot of land inside the Forest Service boundary, and all of it, the majority of it, has been made available for sale to the Forest Service. They have limited federal funds, so as you might imagine. As a matter of fact, they didn't have the money for this project. I think this project came up because some other project couldn't get through the hopper. I'm not positive of this, but I believe that because we were ready, we were able to do this. But the constraint here is the federal government money.
It's land that was virtually useless to us.
Yep.
This is Matt. I just had a quick question. I mean, I'm all for it, and I'll be voting for the sale. My only question would be, I don't know if any of the staff members there know how much money we have, if it's in a specific pot, like an escrow account or something, for these land sales, which this would add another $868,000. Is there an amount we have that's in that pot?
Yes. I don't have that number in front of me, and I don't know whether this is normal school or common school land.
Okay.
But for each land category, we have an account, and this money will be deposited in that account.
Okay. Well, I'll talk about it at one of the later appointment agenda items, just how I think we should be able to use this money for something else, because right now I'm all for the sale, but under current law, my understanding is we can only buy new land, and I'm not a fan of that. So, but that's for a later agenda item.
Okay. Then I'll go ahead and call the vote on the motion. All in favor of going forward with this sale, the U.S. Forest Service, say aye.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Brian.
Aye, Matt.
All right, then it's unanimous. Then item 7, I see from the notes here, I can say with confidence, this item was put on the agenda by the treasurer. So I'll let you take the lead on this one, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, all I'd like for this board to start thinking about going forward is just a change in the mentality of going back to our original constitution charter. And I'd like to see us try to sell land. And I just put as an, just for an argumentative sake, just to give you an example. When I first met with Tia, she said the land was, let's say, worth $1 an acre. So at that rate, we would have, you know, $75 million worth of land. Maybe it's worth $100 million. I don't think we know exactly, but let's say it's worth $100 million, and we could sell it. And I think that's what we should actively be trying to do, because that's what the Constitution tells us to do. We could be making, we make 4%. The staff there make 4%, and if we get other investment options, I think we'll make more than that. But if we had, if we could sell the land, and I understand it's not easy, we can't sell it tomorrow, I get that. But if we sell the land, we could make 4% on $100 million, that's $4 million a year. That's $8 million over the biennium that we could be giving to the UW. Needless to say, I'm sure they would happily grab $8 million from us. But I think we need to be more active in selling this land.
I think that there is a goal to do that. My assessment of what happens, what's been happening is that there's been work.
Hey, Brad?
Yeah.
I apologize. I'm on a landline, but for some reason I'm cutting in and out from what you guys say, but I hear most of what you're all saying. I think we have sold some land. The problem is the land bank, you know, land bank had, a fatal flaw in that it requires us, and I'll talk about it later with the J.B. Van Hollen conversation, that requires us to buy new land when we sell land. So even though we've sold $16 million of land in the last 10 years under land bank, we've had to buy all new land. If we had just left that and just gotten 4%, my page 25 on the bottom right, that the dollar amount at the top there, the $16,499,000, that's what we've actually sold in 10 years. Those aren't hypotheticals. Those are what we've actually sold at the BCPL. And if we use a conservative rate of 4%, that would bring us in $659 a year or $1.3 million over the biennium. That's a lot of money to be giving to the normal school fund, which is the UW system. And right now we're just not giving it there because we bought a bunch of new land.
I think there's a big assumption that land could all be sold that rapidly. As I understand it, and there's much of our land that doesn't have a market because it's being isolated or non-timber producing. And because of those things, the trades are being worked. I don't get the impression, it's not my impression that the trades are being made to try to accumulate more land, but to increase the value of our land. That's my impression of what I'm seeing happening.
I looked this over and I've thought about it, and I also thought a bit about our last meeting. And at this point, I'd like to say that in respect to the discussion we had about the Steigerwald request for proposal that we discussed. As commissioners, we should obviously protect the permanent trust, and we should base our decisions, especially long-term decisions involving our land, on the best availability. So even though I've got a lot of faith over the years with our staff, and particularly the work that Tia has done in the last few years, I would now support the drafting of a request for proposal to get a detailed timberland management analysis of our current land holdings and find out what would be the most prudent step forward, as we did discuss some of the last meeting. And so I think that would be appropriate, and I guess I can make a motion to that effect, or we can just ask the staff to do it.
I think we have to put that to the next meeting. We didn't put it back on the agenda for this time, but we can take that item from the July 7th meeting and put that onto our next meeting.
So even just asking the staff to prepare the RFP would require.
See, we have to put notice that we're going to discuss that.
I understand that. So I would then ask that to be on the next agenda item.
Hey, Brad and Doug, I mean, I think we all generally want the same thing, to make more money for our beneficiaries. And one of the things that, you know, I heard Brad say, you know, he said that, you know, when it's not that easy to sell the land and they're trying to make it more manageable land or whatever, But we did sell $16 million worth of land. Some of the land that I'm going to talk about at the later point was what I would just call a land grab. It was just its own isolated parcels of land that were just productive timber. And there was a conversation back in 2009, and at that point, the Attorney General, J.B. Van Hollen, brought up an excellent point about why we haven't done an analysis of why we're just automatically buying new land instead of investing it in our other investment options like the trust fund loan program. And J.B. Van Hollen at the time wanted to look into it, and Tia basically said, which is accurate, that the land bank right now requires us to buy land. And so because we sold $16 million, which was, I think, 13,000 of our 75,000 acres. If that was all gone, we'd be down to in the 60s of thousands of acres. We would have sold a bunch of land. Maybe some of the purchases, I went through all of them. There's only been 21 since Land Bank. There's been some trades, but 21 purchases. And a couple of them had where they, you know, as Tom said, increased the value of current holdings. Some of them were just making our blocks much, much bigger. And I don't support that. And the one I'm going to talk about later, Moose Lake, it's 3,000 acres of land up in Iron County that we didn't have a single piece of land touching it, and we just bought it. And we have not made any money really on it. So I'm going to talk about that in item 10.
Okay. And I'm certainly willing to look at those specific examples, and maybe I'll stand corrected on the impressions I had. But okay. Anything else on that item? Let's see. This should be 7, right? We're on. Yep.
We're at number 8 next.
Okay. Anything else on that, Matt?
No, we can move on to 8.
Okay. And I'm going to go ahead and let you start the conversation on this one, too.
Well, number 8 is just, it's concerning to me because we had the discussion, the three commissioners talked on May 19th, and I put this on the agenda to talk about normal school fund earnings then, which right now are distributed basically via one statute, 36.49, that directs it into three different items. One is the $100,000 of the Nelson Institute Environmental Studies. The second is environmental programs at the extensions of UW. And then the third is going to environmental programs at Stevens Point. And in our discussion in May 19th, I had said I don't support this at all because I don't think these earmarks for environmental programs fit with what the Constitution says, which is to just give the money to the normal school funds, which are now the UW and maybe, if anything, the UW education schools. And I'm a product of UW-Madison and actually went to the education school. And if we're going to earmark the money anywhere, it should certainly go to the education school. And I prefer it just go to the UW straight up. And what I find upsetting is we talked about that on May 19th. I raised many concerns, and even Doug at the very end of the conversation said he'd like for the staff to get back to us and tell us what's going on, keep us abreast of what's going on. 10 days later, Joint Finance voted on it, and they voted to Governor Walker repealed the entire statute, which I didn't even know, and then they voted to put it right back in. Well, that was the 29th of May. They could have told us at any point in June that this happened, and we could have written a letter saying what we believe should happen, because the budget wasn't signed until a few weeks ago. And I think that back in 11, Tia made it a point that the board, meaning the three commissioners at that point, were all over this. But then this year, in 2015, we haven't weighed in at all and haven't gave our opinion to the legislature. I put in there the board agenda for May 17th of 11, and that's where Tia or somebody at the staff there specifically had wanted the board, the three commissioners at that time, to weigh in. I don't know why we're not weighing in when I, as one of the three commissioners, specifically brought it up. And I think all the commissioners would have to do, and I think, frankly, I'm not trying to put the money somewhere crazy, like give it to some Republican cause. I'm saying to just give it to the UW straight up. I don't think anyone would have a problem with that. And I think the most important page would be page 33 of our binder. And if you look at item 14, this was, I think, prepared by Fiscal Bureau, they specifically talk about how these scholarships that we're giving to environmental programs, how does this have anything to do with the original charge of the Constitution? And I don't know. I just think it's a problem, and that we as a board should weigh in and tell the legislature, give them our opinion on where it should go. And I think if we had had that opportunity during this budget process, I know if I had known, I would have definitely written letters to all the members, and I would assume Brad and Doug would have had a view as well, and unfortunately, we weren't given that option.
Okay, well, this is Doug. That's all history now, and you've explained what your thoughts were. I think in the future, and when the next budgetary process is underway, the three of us can have a discussion about what we think at the moment. I am not as opposed to the current situation as you are, but I'm willing to listen to options in the future. What's next here?
Me too.
I gotta get back to my office.
Okay. Anything else on item 8, Matt?
No, just that I'm going to work at fixing this legislative session, and I'd expect that the commissioners would weigh in at some point on where we think the money should go.
Okay, we can discuss that when you have some options in front of you.
Okay.
Then item 9 is also, I believe, something that you put on the agenda.
Well, I'd like for the board to consider changing how we're operating. I know Tia told me once before, if you look at page 38 of our packet of pages, right now the normal school fund has about $26 million in cash assets, and that makes about $1 million a year in interest. It's $1,026,000 in fiscal year 14. Unfortunately, we take all of our land costs out of there, and then we only have this small disbursement of $300,000. I don't think that we should be using all the timber revenue to then go into the principal. The Constitution did not leave a mechanism to grow the principal of this fund. I just think that we could be giving more to the UW. If we took that out the other way, we could almost give the UW every year $1 million instead of the $300,000. And so I think as a board, we should make that an effort to change how we fund so that we don't take the money right off, add it to the principal, that we use timber revenue to offset the timber expenses.
This is Doug. I must admit I'm a little confused. If we don't charge those expenses against that income, you want to charge them against what?
Well, right now, if you look at that page, this is the only page you have to look at, page 38. Let's just use this one fiscal year. Timber revenue that was brought into all our lands was $470,000. Total expenses for the normal school fund were $724,000. That, the $470,000 doesn't get deleted from that. Instead, the $470,000 gets added to the principal. And therefore, we take the investment income of the million at the top, and then you subtract the $724,000, and that's where you get the $301,000. And the timber management should be, those costs for the timber management should be offset by the timber revenue. I mean, it just makes sense that it does cost money to do the management of the timber. So the $470,000 should be subtracted, and that should be take off maybe the $337,000 to the right there under total expenses, and probably the real estate also of $90,000. I'm just trying to get more money to the UW, and I think that I don't think Peter or Tom ever told me that we have to do it this way. They just said that this is how it's been done in the past. And I think partly because many, many years ago, they didn't bring in any money in this fund.
Yeah, I think it's worth looking at Article 2, Section 2, Article 10 of the Constitution. It is clearly required by the Constitution that revenue to the Common School Fund be deposited in the Common School Fund, unclaimed property, for example, which you're familiar with, Matt.
Yep.
I am not a lawyer. Tom has said to me that he thinks there's some ambivalence in the language as to whether, so clearly the Constitution requires us to put revenues have to be deposited in the Common School Fund. It is less clear, apparently, and I'm not claiming no expertise on that, I think it's worth looking at, whether revenues for the normal school fund must be deposited in that fund. It just historically we've done it that way for 100 years. It's the means by which the normal school fund grows in principal, I do think it's worth.
Yeah, I mean it's just a different way of looking at it. I think, and I think we give more money to the UW. I mean we don't have to vote on it today. Maybe we could do a little more research on it, but I just think ultimately that the expenses, because again, if we did nothing on the land, and I'm not advocating that, but if we did literally nothing and we had no expenses, this fund would make $1 million a year and we would give that to the UW every year. But we do manage the land, so there are expenses. So I think that the revenue from the timber management should offset the timber costs.
Yeah, just one other clarification. Going forward, we're going to account for the expenses to the normal school fund differently than we have in the past. Tom and I are still working that out. We need to work with the Audit Bureau and be sure that we have our I's crossed and our I's dotted and our T's crossed. But this is not reflective of land management costs.
Well, this is Doug. I've listened to this, and it is a bit complex in terms of where the expenses go. But I thought about it. I'd like to make the following statement into the record. As the trustees in this permanent fund, we should be concerned about the flow of the principal into the trust and also the management of the expenses and the fund earnings and distribution. That's clear. This is important because the trust is supposed to benefit the children today as well as the future generations of students. So I believe it's important that we get a handle on the current major inflows of principal. Therefore, I'd like to make an official request that the staff produce a report dealing with the top 10 sources of principal additions to the Common School Fund. The report should note trends and anomalies and provide explanations if possible. As unclaimed property is a significant source of principal additions to the Common School Fund, the report should analyze not only the net additions to the principal, but also the expenses of administering the program of unclaimed property and any identifiable trends. I'm still considering asking for a formal audit of the unclaimed property program, possibly in the future. So I'd like to request that the staff prepare that report for the next meeting.
Well, this is Matt, and I'm sorry some of that broke up there, but I mean, right now we're talking about the normal school fund, not the common school fund. So the stuff I've been discussing is this one page here that we're discussing with the $470,000 and the million has nothing to do with the common school fund. It's a completely separate fund. But if you want to look at the common school fund, I don't necessarily disagree. I didn't understand all that, but.
Okay, but it's a similar situation fund that I've been concerned about, so I'd like to see that report, if that's okay with everyone.
It is. I think as a commissioner, you're entitled to ask for that the staff can reasonably prepare. And so I don't think a motion and second or anything is necessary. You can make that required.
I agree. And again, Tia, do you expect this to be done by the next meeting, or what is your thinking?
Yes, I think so. We're in the so-called 13th month. We have seen, and we won't know until the end of this month, what the trends are, but there's been a precipitous drop in revenue to the Common School Fund from unclaimed property and insurance violations, and that outlook may change in the next week or so, If I don't have a calendar in front of me, I think it would be best to produce this report after the end of after July 30th, because then the books are closed, and we'll know what all the revenue sources were, whether it's the normal school fund for this fiscal year, common school fund, and of course there's many, many, many more revenue sources for the common school fund, it would be best to produce it after the end of this month.
I agree.
Because the books closed then.
And that makes sense, I support that idea.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on item 9? Okay, then item 10, discussion of land bank activity. That also was submitted by the treasurer, so I'll leave it to you, Matt, to comment.
I'll try to be as quick as possible. I understand that there's a lot on the agenda, and maybe Doug has some stuff to do. And some of the stuff that starts in there I've talked about, and I don't have to rehash it, but my belief that managing land at the BCPL is just a money loser for us. And I think a very perfect example of it, a concrete example, can be found on page 42. The chart that you see there, there's a spreadsheet if you have it in front of you, page 42. All the information there was provided by the BCPL. Tia sent me that document. I put it into my own, so it's on one page. But basically, we've sold land, okay? And what I'll just look at one specific land transaction. On my end page, it's page number 12, and all the purchases get a number. VCPL labeled it as P0902. And that P0902 was a $1.5 million purchase of land that they did back in 2009 with J.B. Van Hollen, Sass, and Doug. And at the time, I looked back at some of the record here, and I went and listened to the audio. J.B. had some very good points. His question was, we're buying this land for $1.5 million. It's an isolated parcel of land. If you have the map, it's the very last page in our packet, page 46. It's 3,000 acres. So this isn't like a 40-acre purchase, nothing small to add access, nothing to give us any easement. This is a huge land grab of 3,000 acres. When they purchase this for the $1.5 million, that money's gone. So now it's tied up. Now we own the land. Okay? Instead, and this was what J.B. Van Hollen was asking, could we just invest it in another route, let's say the trust fund loan program? If we had not bought the land and just invested it at our normal rates, which are about 4%, the number on line 12, that was 6 years ago. So we would have made 4% on $1.5 million is $60,000 a year. That's reflected under column F for if we had done that for 6 years, because that was 6 years ago, a little over actually, $60,000 times 6 years, that's column H. We at the VCPL, meaning in our beneficiaries, the normal school fund, the UW, would have made $360,000 on flat interest. And that's kind of what JB, I think, was getting at. Instead, if you look at the bottom, under line 37, that's the same transaction, and Tia has listed there with the revenue what we brought in from timber. And all they've sold in timber is $66,000. And again, that doesn't include the cost. It costs money to get the timber. To get our bonds and our trust fund loan program, it's pretty minimal, and we could buy one bond for $15 million. So we spent all that money to get 66 in timber sales, and I believe zero after all the expenses, when we could have made $360,000. And if you look at page 43, this was the discussion going back with J.B. Van Hollen and Tia back then in 09, a very good point J.B. Van Hollen was making, and it, the item 4 details it. This is Tia, she said at the end, she said that the land bank legislation requires that the land bank proceeds be invested in other lands. And I think that it's just a fatal flaw of land bank. If we're buying a little parcel to make our lands more valuable, like a 40-acre or an easement, I generally get that. But to buy 3,000 acres, we had to. We were stuck with no other options. So, I mean, I'm going to be pursuing an option to get rid of that portion, but I don't know if my fellow commissioners think that this is just silly. I mean, we added 3,000 acres of land that we had no reason to be buying. And I guess I'll turn it over to you, gentlemen.
I've got nothing to say.
The analysis from a timberland investment advisor, outside timberland investment advisor, is my strongest recommendation to the board because they can do a thorough economic analysis. This document does not reflect the increase in land values, the appreciation of those land values. If you reflect back on the Steigerwald presentation that the board received and look at trust fund performance, California Retirement Fund, for instance, is generating a higher rate of return for their timberland investments than they are for some of their other investments. And because of the issues and discussion here, just my, and you know, differences of opinion, it's just my strongest recommendation that you guys, and that's why I put it forward previously, and I appreciate, Doug, that you're now interested in it. I think we've got to go parcel by parcel, look at what's productive, look at what's access impaired, look at what has timber revenue generating capacity, look at how we can, purchases that enhance access are dramatically increasing the value of the underlying portfolio. In my own view, it would be irresponsible to sell that land without getting access first because you're leaving value on the table and shortchanging the children.
That makes sense. And
yes.
Again, this is Doug. I think this issue reinforces my request for bringing up the RFP study at our next agenda item, Mr. Chairman.
That'll be on the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make one last comment about that, and then we can move on to adjournment or whatever. The only thing I would say, and I don't necessarily have a problem doing an analysis, but the three of us are on this committee. We're responsible for it ultimately. I think the three of us, you know, we obviously are, you know, have our own brains to work with here. My problem is I don't think it makes any sense that we should be, our options as commissioners should be limited by that land bank authority to require us to buy land. If the three of us or two of us decide that we need to buy a parcel of land to unlock value, I mean, I could understand the logic. But to require us to buy land, I think, is a fatal flaw that I want to, you know, come back around and have a formal, you know, discussion on. Because why, I mean, J.B. Van Hollen was right on it, and this was an 09. Why, I mean, there was, they, and you know what, those commissioners were tried. They had nothing else to do. They, I mean, if we sold half of our acreage today, or all, if we sold all of our land today, somebody gave us $100 million, some rich guy came in and said, here's $100 million, we would be required as commissioners to buy $100 million worth of more land. That's just crazy. I mean, the land is supposed to be sold via the Constitution. So I can, I'll be happy to move it on to another agenda.
Well, I confess I'd like to do a little bit of research into the Land Bank Authority law, and perhaps... perhaps in the coming months, maybe it will make sense for us to take some position that gives us more flexibility on that. You may be right on this, but let me do a little more, more research.
This is Doug. Yeah, I was again around when that happened, and I at that time, and still, I think it was a logical approach in order to deal with the situation that we faced, and that was a lot of scattered, unproductive, hard-to-access parcels of land. And there was almost no way to do that, particularly when it's hard to make trades sometimes. So the Land Bank Authority concept, I think, was a very good one, and I think it served us very well if you analyze what we've been able to do with it. But I do, and I made the suggestion for the next agenda item, the next meeting, that we ask some experts to talk about it. And I agree with the chairman. It may well be that at this point, with what we've accomplished in terms of consolidation, there may be some other approaches, and I'm open to think about that at the time. Okay. Next.
Now we've already put on one future agenda item. Yeah. Any others that anyone wants to raise at this time? Okay. Then we have the executive secretary's report, and I'd just like to make a little bit of an introductory comment to that. The executive secretary and I have been in communication regarding what she's going to report today. This has been something that's been in the works for her for a little while and a great opportunity. So I'm going to turn it over to Tia then to share with us some pretty substantial news.
Oh, thanks, Brad. I have a longer statement written up, but just want to make a few brief comments. I've been at DCPL for 11 years. It's been an incredibly rewarding time. I sort of went through an inventory of some of the stuff we've accomplished during that period. We've done $1.4 billion in loans, including over $500,000 in public infrastructure projects across the state. We've done over $250 million in economic development projects. We're operating more efficiently than any other government agency, distributing 96 cents on every dollar we earn from these investments to Wisconsin schools. And today, as you guys know, we're the sole source of public school library aid. And we do all this all on program revenue, not a penny of taxpayer dollars. We're far more efficient than the State of Wisconsin Investment Board. We're far more efficient than Vanguard, the industry gold standard for efficiency. You know, so I'm immensely proud of that. I'm particularly proud this year, thanks to the good work of Tom and Rich, that we've generated record earnings, which is not a given in a low interest rate environment. If it weren't for Rich's efforts and Tom's efforts, in the bond market, if we had just relied on earnings from loans, our school aid distribution would have been half what it was this year. Instead, we distributed $35.5 million, enough to put a book in the hand of every child. In addition, Land Bank Authority has allowed us to increase timber revenue generating capacity timber harvest levels are twice what they are today, or twice what they were when I was hired 11 years ago, and we've increased public access. That's important not just because the public deserves to have access to our land, but more importantly, especially as you guys consider your analysis, acquiring that legal access is dramatically enhancing the value of our land portfolio, so that in the future you guys can make decisions about how to make your investments and do so without compromising value and contributions to public education. So I'm immensely proud of that. I'm immensely proud of my team. I have been solicited for a new job. That didn't quite sound right, did it? I've been recruited for a new job for quite some time. I was not going to leave the team or the board until the budget had been passed by the governor, until we had garnered a prudent investor standard, which we're almost there, it's passed the Senate and should pass the Assembly next week as a part of the Arena Finance Project. That will make it possible for the board and staff to grow its investment earnings and continue to play an important role in public education in Wisconsin. I wanted to complete my performance review. I'm deeply grateful to Brad for his remarks regarding my performance. I wanted the team to have goals for after I was gone that the board had reviewed and blessed. So with that, those things checked off, I was finally willing to sign a contract with a local foundation. They'll be making a major announcement tomorrow about that, and I couldn't be more excited about the opportunity. And I want to thank the Attorney General and the Secretary of State for continuing BCPL's long bipartisan stewardship of school trust assets on behalf of the children of Wisconsin. Mr. LaFollette's commitment to the goals of BCPL has been steadfast for many years. Commissioner Brad Schimmel's tireless efforts as our recently elected board chair to help this agency do its job under tumultuous circumstances has been critical to our continued success and is consistent with the board's tradition of undivided loyalty to the beneficiaries established in the state constitution. So I leave my job at the end of the week and at the new entity shortly. And I'm super proud of my staff. They're all honorable, high-performing public servants. I'm grateful to them. They've made it a really good run of 11 years for me. So, and done a lot of, accomplished a lot for the state and the people of Wisconsin. So it is with great gratitude and in a certain sense of mixed emotions that I move on to a wonderful new challenge.
Well, T.A., congratulations.
Wow, well, I said.
Yeah, congratulations on this new opportunity. When I wrote the annual review summary, I did not yet have any idea that this was coming. So it's timely that we got that done before you made this announcement. And as I reflected in that summary, you have left this organization in 11 years here. You have made it far better organized, managed, and more prosperous. And your service has been a great success for the state of Wisconsin. So I'm appreciative of that, and I'm thrilled for your new opportunity. And I know tomorrow there'll be more news about that, so I'm not going to divulge more.
Great.
Wow.
I'm grateful.
Thank you, Brad. This is Doug. Surprised and excited and worried. Surprised because I wasn't expecting it. Happy for the possibilities for her in the future. Tia has contributed a great deal to our society. I know enough to say that happened before she took the job as our executive secretary, when she worked for Nature Conservancy and did a lot of important work. Her 11 years here have been fundamental to making us move into a positive direction, and we talked about that. And of course, I'm worried because without her, we have to continue. We do have a great staff, and we'll have to find someone to help us organize and move that staff ahead. And I'm sure Brad and I will be able to accomplish that. So I wish you well. I look forward to finding out what you're doing and reading about you in the newspapers.
Yes. Thanks, everybody.
That leaves us a question regarding
Well, this is Matt. I didn't really get to say anything. I guess I'll say to you, best of luck to you.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it.
So we are in the position of first determining when will your departure officially occur?
I'd like my last day to be Friday at noon, and I think I can pull that off. I got a fair bit of things to do, but Vicki's going to help me out to Vic.
Sure.
And I think we're in reasonably good shape, and if I needed to stay longer, I would, but that would be great timing for me. I'll be on the new job August 1, and I'd like a break.
Okay. Well, then I, as
and just as a practical matter, Tom becomes acting secretary. As a civil servant who is deputy secretary, he will become acting secretary, and you guys can decide how you're going to move forward from that. You know, I would mention, just for others' benefit, I know you guys know it, you know, Tom German's forgotten more about finance than I'll ever know, and certainly is highly qualified, and it will be very reassuring to staff to have him either as interim or permanent secretary.
I was going to ask about that because I was not 100% sure, but that is the structure is set up so he would automatically do that. This board does not have to.
You don't have to make a motion.
Okay.
He will be acting director acting secretary. And
I was prepared to do something in order to make that happen, but if it happens automatically, that's fine. Good.
Well, that automatic provision gives us the continuity we need to keep going forward. We'll be able to continue on. We'll have some challenges, but Tom will be up to those. So we'll be able to continue on. So with that assurance, as chairman, then I accept your resignation effective Friday, this Friday at noon.
Yep. Thank you. I'm grateful.
I guess at that point, I'll be brave enough to make a motion that we adjourn this meeting in honor of Tia Nelson, and as this is her last meeting.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
I didn't hear the motion. I'm sorry.
Doug had made a motion to adjourn this meeting in honor of Tia Nelson's service to the BCPL, and I seconded it.
Oh, sure. Why not?
All in favor? Aye.
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 All right, then we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
Thanks, everybody.
Anybody still there?
Hello?